Good evening. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is a story that I wrote several years ago. It may sound familiar to some of you, but we're going to do it again. And you all are a part of the story. You all have become, for the purposes of this story, the High Heavenly Council of the Most High God. So, boom, y'all have wings. Yay, isn't that wonderful? So this is a story from long, long ago. Actually, the year before the Christ child was born. And yet it's a story not many have ever heard. And your role as the Holy High Council is to become the Holy High Council and act like what I say you're doing. Please do what I say. And you also have a line. Whenever you hear the phrase, and it will be said multiple times, O High Most Holy One, O Lord of all creation, after that is said, you say, this is crazy. So, let's practice. I'll say this line, and you say, this is crazy. Ready? Oh, High, Most Holy One, oh, Lord of all creation.
This is crazy.
All right, remember it and listen for your cues. In the year before Jesus was born, God called together God's High Holy Council. The council consisted of God's most trusted advisors, all those heavenly beings who were there when the world began, who helped consult on the design and formation of all the stars and planets, elements, plants, animals, and people. A very high and holy group, indeed. So God called this group together for a very special meeting, and the High Holy Council was all abuzz about what that meeting could be about. Perhaps God was in the creating mood again and was going to announce a new planet or a new galaxy to be created. Or perhaps God had some special plan for the Earth that he was going to announce. Perhaps a special plan to finally bring those humans around to his side once and for all. They were so excited about this special meeting, they could hardly bear the suspense. Because, you see, God hadn't called one of these special meetings like this since he announced that Moses was going to be the guy to lead the Israelites out of slavery into freedom. So it had been a while. The day for the meeting finally arrived. They gathered in God's high holy chamber, Bethel Lutheran Church. The excitement was palpable. God stood before the gathered council and said, there were gasps and cries of delight and exclamations of joy and much applause. When the noise had settled down, God continued.
He will be born to a human woman whom I have already chosen. She is a young girl, a virgin named Mary. She is filled with faith, hope, she is currently engaged to a man named Joseph. My spirit will come upon her, and she will conceive my son.
The reaction to this news was quite different than that of God's first announcement. Instead of joy and applause, there was only stunned silence. Heads turned towards one another. Looks of surprise, shock, and horror and disbelief were shared. Horror and disbelief, please. The idea of God's son being born to a human woman was something no one had ever considered. Could God be serious about this? One of the more daring members of the heavenly host, the angel Gabriel, spoke up. Clearing his throat, he said,
pardon me. I certainly mean no offense, but Lord, is this really a good idea? I mean, It is your son, after all. This is the Son of God we're talking about. No son of yours should be born like a human, with all that pain and mess and fear. It's too human. It's too awful. Why put your son through that? It is not fitting. It is not right. And consider the poor human girl. Consider her. She's only a girl. She will be so afraid. And when people find out that she's conceived a child outside of her engagement to Joseph, well, rumors will fly. Joseph will be angry. And everyone will think that she's lying about having God's son. Why put her through all of that? I'm just not sure it's a very good plan. Excuse me for saying so, but I think I speak for many of us here when I say, O most holy one, O Lord of all creation.
This is crazy! And God, to his credit, just smiled. He didn't get mad or blast Gabriel into small pieces like he could have done. He just smiled. Only a smile the one and only deity of all creation could smile. He turned to Gabriel and said,
"Let me continue to tell you my plan. Not only will my son be born to few human parents, Mary and Joseph, he will also be born in a stable with animals surrounding him, for there will be no room in the inn. And he will be laid in a feeding trough, manger as his first bed. Angels will announce to shepherds out in the fields that he is born, and they will come with both fear and joy to see the baby lying in a manger."
And there was more shock and disbelief among the high heavenly council. Shock and disbelief. Okay, come on, people. There was much murmuring, and no one could really believe what they had just heard. And Gabriel, that most brazen angel, couldn't help himself. He jumped up and shouted out,
"What? What? Oh God, what are you thinking? This is your only son. How can you let him be born in a wild and painful, grotesque human way? But then on top of that, to be born amongst animals and put in a feeding trough? He's God in the flesh. He's your very own flesh. He is part of you, for goodness sake. O most holy one, O Lord of all creation."
This is crazy! After this incredible show of outrage before God Almighty, another brave soul actually spoke up.
"Lord, what about this? Having a born little woman who is at least knowledgeable of having children, that would be smart. Why not have the Son of God be born to someone who's had 6, 8, 10 kids already experienced? To have a young girl with no knowledge of having kids, bearing a child, who's raising the child to be the Son of God? Well, I think that's crazy. Oh, holy God, Lord of all creation,
This is crazy!
Let's find someone more experienced than Mary."
Another, a seraphim, joined in.
"And why shouldn't the woman, the mother of God, be of noble birth?
Yes.
That way he could be born in much better circumstances than a barn. He should at least have noble lineage and a decent place to lay his head as a newborn. It's a little embarrassing. And oh, high most holy one, O Lord of all creation,
this is crazy!
Crazy to have God's son born in a barn to a woman of no rank or standing."
And there was much nodding of heads and agreement at these two much saner ideas. So much so that someone else even found the courage to speak up.
"Why send shepherds, O Lord? Do you think that's what a new mom wants around her newborn baby? Stinky, smelly, unhelpful shepherds? Why not send the news of the baby's birth first to a group of caring women, grandmotherly types who will come and help Mary, who will come and watch the baby while Mary catches up on sleep, who will clean the barn and bring extra blankets and food. It's a little crazy to send shepherds first. They're not going to do any of that, and they're not even held in very high regard anyway. Oh, high most holy one, O Lord of all creation.
This is crazy!
Crazy to have shepherds be the first ones to visit the baby, don't you think?
And again, there was much nodding and general agreement among the High Holy Council upon this suggestion as well. And then God spoke.
Silence.
And it grew very quiet and still. Out of the silence, Gabriel, the original questioner of God's birth plan for his son, somehow found it necessary to speak.
Lord, we just want your one and only son to enter the world to the honor and glory to which he is due. This plan of yours has none of that. It has a virgin, young mother who will go through much ridicule, much strife and much grief before even bearing the child. This young mother will give birth for the first time with little or no help, and it will be in less than ideal circumstances. And to top it off, Lord, the baby will be lying in a feeding trough. How humiliating, how humbling, how weak. And then, to be visited by the lowliest members of the society first, the shepherds. How can we do this? It does not suit at all for the only Son of God. Again, Lord, with all due respect, I must ask, have you gone off your rock? Oh, high most holy one, O Lord of all creation,
this is crazy!
And again, though God could and probably should have struck Gabriel down right then and there, and at times he later wished he had for all the trouble Gabriel seems to cause, for being so insolent, so brazen, so impudent as to question God's very sanity, God leaned forward and looked Gabriel directly in the eye and said,
"Yes, Gabriel. This is crazy, because I am crazy about every single human being I have made. I am so madly in love with each one of them that I will do anything, and I mean anything, to understand what they are going through, to be with them, to hurt like they do, to feel broken like they do, to feel lowly and ashamed like they do. I will do anything to stand with them in their sorrow, in their humiliation, in their tears. I will do anything to make sure they know I will go to any length, even the length of becoming one of them, and suffering and dying for them, to be with them, and in the end, to heal them from all that harms them. Yes, I am crazy, crazy in love with my creation."
And amidst the stunned silence that followed, yet again the brazen angel Gabriel spoke. But this time, he spoke not as one who didn't understand, but as one who did.
"I am so sorry. I didn't see it before, but I see it now. I humbly ask, and I know I certainly don't deserve this honor. But now that I see the wonder of your goodness, your amazing grace, your unimaginable mercy, might I humbly ask, may I be the one to go to visit the virgin and the shepherds?"
And God responded,
"Let it be so."
From then on, God's plan was followed to the letter. And God came to this crazy world. In a most crazy way, on this crazy night, to show us just how crazy he is about you. Amen.